to even notice a difference.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Kriyas HaMegillah for Ketanim and Noshim, and also about the mitzvah of Mishteh V'Simcha for Noshim and Ketanim. Usually the discussion is about, classically, is about Megillah for Ketanim and Noshim. Here's a little bit of a curveball, and we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Mishteh and Simcha for Ketanim and Noshim. And it's all based on the Gra's commentary on Megillah, specifically the ninth chapter of Megillah. At the end of Megillah, it says, "Vayomim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim, v'yemei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim, v'zichram lo yosuf mizaram." And the Gra is going to focus our attention on two words here, on the word Yehudim, which is going to include Gedolim, and then it says Zaram, which is going to include Ketanim, the younger ones. So let's read the Gra inside. Here you'll see this on page Reish Sadi Dalid. He says, Yimei HaPurim Heim HaMishteh VeHaSimcha. In other words, this Pasuk, which opens with the words HaYomim HaEle, is referring specifically to these two dimensions of Purim, namely Mishteh and Simcha. And the Pasuk says that these days of Purim lo yavru mitoch ha-Yehudim, and the Gra adds the word Shehem Gedolim. V'zichram, now the word Zachira always, whenever it appears in the Megillah, is a reference to Kriyas HaMegillah. She Kriyas HaMegillah lo yosuf afilu mizaram. And the Gaon adds, "Afilu ketanim chayovim b'kriyas ha-Megillah." Now, if you cover the next few words, just if I would ask you pedagogically, if I told you that ketanim chayiv Megillah, what word would, by sheer association, would pop up in your brain? Chayiv. What do you say?
Chayiv.
No, but I'm saying, if I tell you that cotton is chayiv in a mitzvah, what concept? What? Okay, it's surely the Rabbanim, but what specific wing of the Rabbanim? Chinuch, right? Wouldn't that be the mitzvah of Chinuch? Now, the problem is that on the one hand, the Gaon seems to assume that the first part of the Pasuk, before we get to Zichram lo Yosef, because Zichir is referring to Megillah, the first part of the Pasuk, which refers to Mishteh and Simcha, that applies to Yehudim. And the Gaon interprets the word Yehudim means Gedolim. So this is very odd, because it sounds like he's excluding the Ketanim from Simcha and Mishteh. But then when he gets to Kriyas HaMegillah at the end of the Pasuk, that's called Zichira, Zichram, then he includes the Ketanim. Correct, Zichram, Leitzuf Mizaram, he's referring to the Ketanim. So are we meant to assume that a Katan is completely left out as far as the mitzvah of Simcha and Mishteh is concerned, and he's only included in the mitzvah of Megillah? Now, Mimonavshach, if there's a mitzvah of Chinuch, and I don't see why there shouldn't be a mitzvah of Chinuch, then it should apply not only to the mitzvah of Megillah, but also to Simcha and Mishteh. If, on the other hand, there is no mitzvah of Simcha, and that's why you're excluding the Ketanim from Simcha and Mishteh, why are you including him in Mikra Megillah? So this whole split between Mishteh and Simcha on the one hand and Megillah on the other hand, vis-a-vis Ketanim, is very strange. Moreover, even when we talk about Megillah itself, why does the Pasuk have to go out of its way in order to be Marbe Ketanim? Forget about this Pasuk. Even without this Pasuk, I should have been able to establish that Ketanim Achayov B'Kriyas HaMegillah, because the universal halacha of Chinuch. And therefore, based on these questions, the Gemara Yitzchak assumes that, as far as Chinuch is concerned, there was never an issue. This Pasuk is not teaching me, is not establishing the Chiyuv of Chinuch. As far as Ketanim are concerned, there's no reason to exclude Purim from the general obligation of Chinuch, and therefore the Ketanim are obligated not only in hearing the Megillah because of Chinuch, but also in Mishteh and Simcha. But rather, this Pasuk is coming to break out of the bounds, so to speak, of Chinuch and establish a brand new mitzvah, with regard to Ketanim. Now, you'll ask me the following question: what difference it make whether you call it chinuch or you call it a brand new mitzvah? At the end of the day, it's all the same. So he says the following is going to be the tremendous nafkemina. Chinuch is only derabbanan, but that which is written in the Megillah is upgraded to a much higher status. That's called what?
Divrei
Kabbalah. It's almost like a doraisa. So what the Gaon wants to establish is the following: that as far as Simcha Mishnah is concerned, that's chinuch, and again, that would apply to Megillah as well. Comes along the extra words of Lo Yosef Mizaram to upgrade the nature and the severity of the chiyuv of a katan, of Zaram, which is the ketanim, to a new level, which is included here in the pasuk. Once it's included in the pasuk, it becomes Divrei Kabbalah, and it's not a general universal chiyuv of chinuch, which would again, obviously, there's no reason why it shouldn't apply to Megillah, but we're going one step beyond that. In addition to the universal halacha and the obligation of chinuch, in the case of Megillah's Esther, there's an upgraded chiyuv which is called Midivrei Kabbalah. And that has nothing to do with chinuch, it's an independent mitzvah of Midivrei Kabbalah. However, when it comes to Mishnah and Simcha, where we don't have a specific ribui in the pasuk to teach me that ketanim are included in Simcha and Mishnah, all you have is the, again, as we called it before, the universal halacha of chinuch, which is only a mitzvah derabbanan, but it doesn't get upgraded to the status of a divrei kabbalah.
The chinuch, a mitzvah chinuch is normally on the parent, the father, to be.
Very hard to say. Yeah, for that, we'd have to sit Zayin and Kiyum and try to figure that out. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that the chiyuv of chinuch is on the katan. Even if you assume so, that's at the best, in the best case scenario, that's only going to be a derabbanan. It can't produce something that's almost doraisa, that's called midivrei kabbalah. The Gaon, though, however, says that there's an extra pasuk here, v'zichram, referring to the Megillah, lo yosef mizaram, referring to the ketanim, and now the chiyuv of ketanim in Megillah is codified by the Megillah itself. It's in Kisvei HaKodesh. It becomes midivrei kabbalah. And we're going to have to assume here a little bit of a kind of a gzeiras hakasuv, meaning there's something here that defies our rational understanding, because we always assume what's called a hekesh. This is the first sugya Masechet Megillah assumes a hekesh between asiyah and zechira. Like, for example, the Gemara establishes that just like the mitzvah Megillah is by day, so too the asiyah, all the other mitzvahs, whether it's simcha, whether it's mishteh, whether it's mishloach manos, etc., they're all by day. And that's called iskash asiyah lezechira. You'll see this quoted here on the left column on top in this page that I gave you. And it's based on a pasuk, hayomim ha'elin nizkarim v'nasim. Now it's very interesting, because if you're going to tell me that ketanim are upgraded to a chiv of zechira, meaning of Megillah, to the level of Midivrei Kabbalah, then by virtue of this hekesh called iskash asiyah lezechira, or in this case we'll call it zechira and asiyah, meaning once zechira is established a chiv on a higher level, a more intense kind of chiv of Midivrei Kabbalah vis-a-vis ketanim, then by virtue of this hekesh we should apply the same reasoning to Simcha and Mishnah. And Simcha and Mishnah should not be a simple derabbanan of chinuch, but rather should be upgraded to the status of Midivrei Kabbalah. And the best we could do over here is that if not for the pasuk, we would have assumed that as far as the chiyuv katan is concerned, there's nothing more than chinuch, and it's only derabbanan. The pasuk went out of its way to give this upgrade, as we said, with regard to zechira, and now we're going to assume that's outside the parameters of the hekesh. He ends with Vitzarech Iyun. He's not sure why this should be outside of the parameters of the Hekesh. You know, it's once you told me a Chiddush with regard to Zechira, then by virtue of the Hekesh, ipso facto, it should apply to Asi as well. And therefore, Mishnah and Simcha, as far as Ketanim, should also be Midivrei Kabbalah. And that question remains an unanswered question. Again, I think the answer to the question is probably more of a technical answer, and that is that the hekesh between Asiyah and Zechira is only as far as Yemei HaPurim Ha'elu Nizkar V'Nasim, meaning that the time, the zman for the mitzvah. The zman for the mitzvah is going to be the same in both Asiyah and Zechira, even though again the Torah only, the Tanakh I should say, only explicates the time for Asiyah, but by virtue of Nizkarim v'Nasim, we're going to say the time for Zechira is also like the time for Asiyah. It's Yemei HaPurim Eilu, Yomim v'lo Leilos. Later on, of course, there's going to be another Takan of Rav Yishuv ben Levi that we have to read the Megillah not only by day but also by night. But as far as the Megillah itself is concerned, what we call Midirei Kabbalah, that Chiyuv of Megillah is limited to daytime reading, and that's derived from Asiyah, because in Asiyah the Torah says Yomim Eilu. But if you're talking about the nature of the Chiyuv, whether it's a Chiyuv Min Rabbanan or a Chiyuv Midirei Kabbalah, that depends upon what's explicit in the Megillah and what's not explicit in the Megillah. And according to the Gaon, when the Megillah says Zichram Lo Yosef Mizaram, that's almost an explicit obligation incumbent upon the Ketanim, Midivrei Kabbalah, of reading the Megillah. Because it's the Megillah went out of its way to emphasize Zechira over here. You want to know the Zmanim, that you could derive from this Hekish. But as far as the fundamental nature or the scope of the mitzvah and of the obligation, how far it goes, that already depends on the Psukim. If the Torah says, if the Megillah says that the Zara meaning the Tanam HaChayev in Zechira, then it's only in Zechira and not in Simcha and Mishteh. So Rav Osa, I had the following question to ask you before we go on to the Ramah, and there's another Gaon that he wants to introduce into this equation. I wanted to ask you the following question. Is there a Hava Mina, even a Hava Mina, to draw the conclusion that a katan could read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol? Let me explain what I mean. If we assume that a katan is not really chayev in the mitzvah, it's only chinuch. Let me explain what I mean. He's not chayev in the mitzvah, it's only chinuch. That sounds a little bit downgrading. But what I mean is that chinuch is a general concept that encompasses all the mitzvahs of the Torah. There's nothing specific about Megillah, before I see this pasuk with the Gaon's interpretation, that would obligate a child in Megillah, per se. He's obligated in chinuch to exercise and skill and train himself for all the mitzvahs. So I'm not sure that the mitzvah of chinuch would allow the katan to be what I call a bar chiyuva, such that he could be motzi a gadol. Now again, this whole discussion is irrelevant to a doraisa. It's only relevant to the rabbanot. In doraisas, even if I would maximize my definition of a katan vis-a-vis a bar chiyuva concept, and I would say that he's a bar chiyuva on this specific mitzvah, in the best case scenario, that's only a derabbanan. So for sure, a katan who ate a meal could not be motzi me if I ate a meal in Birkas HaMazon, because Birkas HaMazon is doraisa. So even if I would assume that the katan midin chinuch is chayav in Birkas HaMazon per se, not as this general all-encompassing concept of chinuch, but there's a specific chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon, he still cannot be motzi me in Birkas HaMazon insofar as I'm chayav d'oraisa. But let's say, for example, I only ate a kezayis, or that's according to Rav Meir, according to Rav Yudai, I ate a kebetza. Now I'm chayav midrabbanon in Birkas HaMazon. Then, if the katan would be chayav in Birkas HaMazon as a specific chiyuv, not if it would, you know, emerge as a separate entity, independent of the general chiyuv of chinuch, then he becomes a bar chiyuva in Birkas HaMazon. Now, you tell me it's only derabbanan, but I'm also only chayav derabbanan because I only ate a kezayis. So, what would be in Megillah reading? This is what I wanted to think about before we go on to the next piece. Would it be possible that since we're dealing with the Rabbanans, okay, we'll get back to Divrei Kabbalah in just a second, but insofar as Megillah is a mitzvah the Rabbanan, that if the Katan, in addition to being Chayav B'Torah's Chinuch in Megillah, meaning Megillah is swallowed up in the universal halach of all mitzvahs, there's a specific Chiyuv that the Megillah wrote that formulated to obligate the Katan in Megillah, now, with regard to Megillah as a unique mitzvah, he becomes a Bar Chiyuva. So you'll tell me, but how could he be a Bar Chiyuva vis-a-vis me? I'm a Gadol. The answer is that Megillah is only Derabbanan. Well, now let's go a step beyond. What do you mean Megillah is only Derabbanan? Megillah is Midivrei Kabbalah. The Katan is only Chayev Midrabbanan. But now we go back to the Gaon, and the Gaon says that as far as Megillah is concerned, the Katan is chayev not only in the specific mitzvah of Megillah, but it's even upgraded to a status of a Divrei Kabbalah. Ad kidei kach, that the Gevuras Yitzchak is perplexed. Why don't we go the step further even as far as Simcha Mishnah is concerned? But whatever the answer to that question is, as far as Megillah is concerned, the Gaon is maintaining that the chiyuv of a katan is not just chinuch, it's midirei kabbalah. Would it be wild, therefore, to postulate the possibility that according to the Gaon, if a katan would read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol, they're both chayv midirei kabbalah, perhaps the katan is called a bar chiyuva? I mean, it's not wild. In Hilchas Chanukah, the Mechaber quotes two deis as to whether a katan could light near Chanukah on behalf of the Bnei Abayis. And if we would apply that logic, again, that one mandiyomer who says Yesha Omrim, it's unclear whether the Mechaber paskins like that mandiyomer, because there are all sorts of rules in reading the Shulchan Aruch. When he brings one day a stam and then he brings the Yesh Omrim, do we assume he passes like the stam, or on the contrary, he's bringing the Yesh Omrim? There are different rules. But for argument's sake, in theory, if let's say we accept the Shita that a Katan could light an Er Chanukah on behalf of a Gadol, it wouldn't be so wild to say that a Katan could read the Megillah on behalf of a Gadol. And I would go even a step further. Let's say there are two Katanim and they're both Chayav in the mitzvah of Megillah. So you may say, look, as far as being motzi a gadol is concerned, that's already going too far, because the gadol is a full-fledged bar chiyuva. Katan, even if he's a bar chiyuva, he's not on the same level as a gadol. But if it's two katanim and one would read on behalf of the other, then that would be an interesting question. Could that be okay? And again, you wouldn't take it too seriously if you thought that the mitzvah of Megillah as far as the katan is only within chinuch. But now that we've upgraded it to the status of a divrei kabbalah, you know, we have to take this with a lot of covered rush. And the question is whether or not one katan could read the Megillah on behalf of another katan. Now he quotes the Ramah. The Ramah in Siman Tafresh Sadihei writes that a woman vis-a-vis the mitzvahs of Matanis Lev Yodim and Mishloach Manos has the same chiyuv as a man. Now, one of the super commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch is the Shari Tshuva, and he quotes the Shvus Yaakov, who says that the reason why women are obligated in these mitzvahs of Purim is because Afein Hayu Bi Oso Hanes. Well, wait a second. Is that really true? In the light of this Gaon, maybe we go way beyond what it says in the Shari Tshuva. Meaning, what is the nature, how do you classify the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos Matanos Evyonim vis-a-vis women on Purim? One way is to answer that it's Afein Hayu Boso Hanes. But now we have another possibility based on the Gaon, and the Shari Tshuva seems to intimate about this Gaon. We go back to the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Yimei Purim Ha'elu Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim. And the Gaon says that the word Yehudim means Gedolim. Well, maybe the word Yehudim means not only Gedolim, but also means Nashim. And again, the Gaon is going to say that that's a reference to the mitzvahs of Purim, what we call Asiyah. Then the end of the Pasuk is referring to Zechirah, which is Mikra Megillah. And now let's take a look at the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says, V'gam, again, this has nothing to do with Charbona, but he says, V'gam, Ksiv, Kivlu HaYehudim, Lios Osim. So again, we're focusing on the word Asiya, which refers to all the mitzvahs of Purim. And it says, Yehudim. Comes along the Shari Tshuva, and he says, Yehudim means Noshim B'chlal. So again, this point wasn't exactly ironed out in the Gaon that we started with, but it seems to be fleshed out here in the Shari Tshuva that the word Yehudim includes Gedolim, Bein Anoshim, Bein Noshim. And it's referring specifically to the Mitzvah Hayom of Asiyah. For example, Mishloach Manos. Let's take that as an example. It would come out now that the Shari Tshuva, maybe even subconsciously, I'm not sure that he's aware of this, is now vacillating back and forth as to what level of chiyuv is imposed on Nashim vis-a-vis Asiyah. Is it Afein Hayu Ba'os HaNes, which would generate what? A mitzvah Dirabbanan, or is it Kivlu HaYehudim, and Yehudim includes Nashim, which generates what kind of a mitzvah? Midirei Kabbalah. and it, you know, swallowed up in this quotation of the Shari Tshuva, the Shvus Yaakov, is really a vacillation between these two classifications. And the nafkamina would be, are we telling Noshim that they're obligated in Matanos Lavyonim Mishloch Manos Midivrei Kabbalah, or is it only Midrabbanan? And it's all based on the Shagas Aryeh, who says that whatever is not included in the Megillah, but it's only included in Afen Hoyibos HaNes, is only the Rabbana. What's ever included in the Megillah itself is upgraded to the status of Midivrei Kabbalah. So if we're going to tell you that Noshim HaChayavos in Mikra, in Matanos Lavyonim, and Mishloch Manos, because of Afen Hoyibos HaNes, that can only generate a Chiyuv Dirabbanan. But if on the other hand, we're going to say that like Yehudim, when it says that Yehudim Kibul Al Atzmam, it's referring to Asiyah, and that includes all these mitzvahs like Mishloch Manos, and Yehudim includes women, then we're obligating women on a higher level, and it becomes now Midivrei Kabbalah. And at the end of this piece, if you take a look on the top left of Reish Tadihei, he writes that Havilei Lameimar Dinoshim Chayovos B'Mishte V'Simcha Midivrei Kabbalah D'Asiya Kolel Mishte V'Simcha. And then, what are we going to say about Kriyas HaMegillah? Now let's just take a step back. You may recall that the Shagas Aryeh has a particular perspective on the Shitas HaBahag. The Bahag says that women cannot be motzi men in Mikra Megillah. Says the Shagas Aryeh, why? Men are obligated midin divrei kabbalah. Women are only obligated midin afein hoyus bosanes, which is only dirabbanan. So when we compare the two, she's like a lot bar chiyuv vis-a-vis a man, because she only has a chiyuv dirabbanan, and he has a chiyuv midivrei kabbalah. That's hence the bahag. Now it comes out that according to at least one explanation of the Shvus Yaakov, quoted here by the Shari Tshuva, women are included in asiyah in the Megillah itself, which upgrades the women way beyond Afein Hoyibos HaNes to the level of Divrei Kabbalah. Now plug in, you know, it all depends what you plug into the electricity. Let's plug in the Hekesh between Asiyah and Zechira. No, if we assume that women in Asiyah are obligated to be Divrei Kabbalah, then by virtue of the Hekesh, women are obligated in Zechira by be Divrei Kabbalah. Is hence, women can be motzi men. And although the Shari Tshuva and the Shvus Yaakov, they don't come to that conclusion necessarily, but that can explain the Rishonim, which includes Tosus and the Rambam and many others, that say that a woman can be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. you'll tell me that a man's chiyuv is midivrei kabbalah. Now we have a possible source that even a woman's obligation in Mikra Megillah is midivrei kabbalah.
Certainly at night, both are derabbanan.
Yeah, that's for sure. According to the Shagas Aryeh, a woman could be motzi man at night, but not during the day. Because at night, they're both on the level of midrabanan. We'll see Rav Moshe Soloveitchik has a different approach. But and on by daytime, her chiv is not the same identical chiv as a man's, because he's midivrei kabbalah.
Except for the Grah.
Or now we're saying that according to the Grah, and especially if you hold like this Shvus Yaakov, that the word Yehudim in the Megillah includes Noshim, then you take it a step further, even though that word is only referring to Asiyah, but now we have the Hekesh Asiyah to Zechira, women are obligated in Megillah, midivrei kabbalah. Now, also, we go on to page Reish Tzadihei, and we're going to talk more about Ketan. The Rambam, at the very beginning of Hilchas Megillah, adds the words Mechanchim es haktanim b'kriyasa. And if you read the Rambam carefully, you'll see that he has two separate categories. He opens up with the category of Hakol Chayovim b'kriyasa. Now he's talking about a full-fledged chiyuv, and he's got anoshim, noshim, and so forth and so on. Then, as almost a tag on, he's got another category vis-a-vis ktanim. So everything that we discussed until now in the Gaon, that the Gaon says that a child is obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah midivrei kabbalah based on the pasuk of Lo Yosef Mizaram, that seems to be against the Rambam, which is fine. You know, the Gaon is not saying this in the Shitas of Rambam. So what it means is Even then, as far as the Rambam is concerned, the only level of chiyuv that you can attain, the maximum level as far as ketanim is concerned, is that of chinuch. It's not even jacked up to the level of midrabanan in the sense of a specific mitzvah, but rather a general mitzvah derabanan of chinuch. The Rambam is unaware of this drasha, if you will, of the Gaon, to upgrade the status of ketanim and megillah to that of midivrei kabbal. That's point number one. The Mechaber stands on the shoulders of the Rambam, as he usually does, and in Siman Tofresh Pei Tes, he uses the same identical language. He gives you a list of those who are chayav in Kriyas HaMegillah, and then he adds on Mechanchim Es Haktan. Now here's a bit of a pella. The Gaon, you know, in addition to his commentary on Megillah, has all other comments on the Megillah, but they're not encoded in his Pirush on the Megillah, but rather in his comments on Shulchan Aruch. So the Gaon, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Tofresh Pei Tes, asks the question, what is the source for this halacha of Mechanchim Es Haktanim? And guess what? He does not quote the Megillah itself. Instead, he quotes a Yushami that says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would gather together his family, including his children, his young children, and he would read the Megillah in their presence. Says the Gaon, that's the source for what the Shulchan Aruch writes here, Mechanchim Es Haktanim. Now, how do we reconcile these two comments of the Gaon? When you talk about the Chiyuv of Ketanim, is it the way the Gaon presents it in his Pirush on the Megillah, that it's a Chiyuv derived from the Megillah itself, Vizara Lo Yosef Mizaram, or is it the way the Gaon comments in his addition to the Shulchan Aruch, that is based on the Yerushalmi, that Rishu ben Levi would gather his troops together, including the Ketanim, which sounds like Chinuch. How do we reconcile these two comments of the Gaon? So the answer is going to be the following, I believe. The Gaon, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, is trying to explain and elucidate the Shita of the Gaon, of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch, again, means the Shita of the Rambam. As far as that their Shita is concerned, then we have a fundamental distinction we don't have any distinction between a man and a woman. Why? Because the language of both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is HaKol Chayovim B'Kriyasa Anoshim U'Noshim. There's not a hair's breadth of a difference, according to the Rambam's formulation, between a man and a woman. And Tosus in Erechin, quoting the Bahag, begins with saying that the Bahag holds that Noshim v'avodim k'tanim p'turim mikra Megillah, that the Bahag is of the opinion that women are exempt from mikra Megillah, meaning reading the Megillah, avol chayovim b'shmir. And why they chayovim b'shmir l'fisha kol ha'yu b'safek lahashmid laharog ula'avid. So it comes out the following, that according to the Shita Sabahag, women do not have the same chayiv as a man. A man is chayiv in kriya, a woman is only chayiv in shmir. So the question is the following. If you take a look at the way Tosus brings the Bahag, he adds into this equation not only Noshim, but he adds Ketanim as well. And he's basically saying that Ketanim are potter for Mikra Megillah, but they're obligated in Shmias HaMegillah. Tzorech Iyun. Let's ask the following question on the way Tosus formulates the Bahag. Lomal on time with Afein Hoibos HaNes Legavi Ketanim. What compelled Tosus to introduce Afein Hoibos HaNes in order to obligate Ketanim? Is Dalmiyachi, even without that, typically the Chayovim Bekriyam Yidin Chinuch. And beyond that, why does the Bahag say the Ketanim Achayev only in Shmiya? If there's a din of Chinuch, he should have said that whatever the young boy, the young lad would be obligated in after his Bar Mitzvah, he's obligated now Midin Chinuch, because Chinuch always means an identity with the ultimate Mitzvah after he becomes a Bar Chiyuvah. In this case, since Men Achayev in Kriya, not just in Shmiya, why does the Bahag lump together the mitzvah of Ketanim together with the mitzvah of Noshim? If it's Midin Chinuch, it should be a Chiyuv of Kriya, not just the Chiyuv of Shmiya. And therefore, we're forced to the conclusion that the Bahag is not operating within the context of Chinuch. In other words, the obligation of a katan vis-a-vis Megillah is not a simple application of the universal rule of chinuch, but rather it's a special chiyuv in mikra Megillah. And that would now jack up the chiyuv of a katan from this general mitzvah of chinuch to a specific mitzvah vis-a-vis Megillah, and that's called in the language of the Bahag Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes Lahashmid Laharig Laava Minoshem VeAdnosh VeTaf. And we're not talking about chinuch. In other words, forget about chinuch. Obviously, the Megillah is included in chinuch, like any mitzvah is included in chinuch. But now, by virtue of Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes, we jack up the chiyuv of a katan to a chiyuv of midivrei. Midrabbanan, right? Because of Afein Hoy Bosadnes. So now comes the Bahag, and he has his famous shita that if you're talking about Afein Hoy Bosadnes, then the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Shmiya, not a Chiyuv Kriya. So in other words, a man is obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah because it's a mitzvah seishas man grom, and men are chayav in the mitzvah seishas man grom. Women should be parted for the mitzvah of Megillah, but yet they're included because of Afein Hoy Bosadnes. The Bahad sheet is that Afein Hoy Bosanes is not like the Iker Chiyuv, which is a Chiyuv of Kriya, not just Shmiya, but rather it's only a Chiyuv of Afein Hoy Bosanes to hear the Megillah. If we apply that to Katan, so on the one hand, we're not applying the universal rule of Chinuch to a Katan and saying that he's Chayav in Megillah because of Chinuch, but rather we're upgrading his Chiyuv to a specific Megillah Chiyuv because of Afein Hoy Bosanes. But if Afein Hoy Bosanes applies according to the Bahag, it only leads. Exactly. It only generates a Chiyuv Shmiya and not a Chiyuv Kriya. Let's just see if he's answered both of his questions. His first question was why does the Bahag have to introduce Afein Hoy Bosanes? Why not just say the Ktanem Achayim Midin Chinuch? Second question was if the Chayim Midin Chinuch, they should be Chayim not only in Shmiya, but in Kriya. The answer is that that's not what the Bahag is trying to do over here. As far as the halachas of chinuch is concerned, that we know. That's upgrade. That's a given. The mitzvah of chinuch applies to Megillah. What the Bahag wants to suggest is that in addition to the general mitzvah of chinuch that applies to Megillah as well, the katan is chayav midin of in Kriya to Megillah midin afein hoy bosanes. That's already a chiv derabbanon. And if it's a chiv derabbanon, then it's a specific chiv in Mikra Megillah, but it's the same identical chiyuv as that of an Isha. Meaning, just like an Isha, because of Afein Hoy Bosanes, is obligated in Shmiya, so too a Katan is obligated in Shmiya. Again, all this is going to, eventually, when we round the bases, so to speak, we'll be able to answer the two comments of the Gaon. Okay. Now he asks the following question. How do we understand Af Hein Hoy Bosanes? There are two ways we can interpret it. We have the klal of Mitzvah Saseishas Vine Grom and Noshim Peturos. Now we have Af Hein Hoy Bosanes and therefore Noshim Chayomos. How does it operate? Is it that the Af Hein Hoy Bosanes neutralizes the universal halach of Mitzvah Saseishas Vine Grom? Meaning, take Mitzvah Saseishas Vine Grom in the case of Megillah and put it. And you know, just put it away, put it in the back burners. It doesn't apply to Mikra Megillah. Or are we saying something totally different? Mitzvah Seishas Mind Grom and Oshim Peturos, even vis-a-vis Mikra Megillah. But women have a new chiyuv, and that new chiyuv is because of Afein Hoy Bosanes. We see from the Bahag that this chiyuv of Afein Hoy Bosanes is a brand new chiyuv. It plays itself out with its own regulations. It's only a chiyuv Shmiya and not a chiyuv Kriya. If the Afein Hoy Bosanes would undermine the entire enterprise of Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom with regard to Megillah, then they would be chayev not only in Shmiya but also in Kriya. So the Brisker Rav says that according to the Rambam, Noshim Chayovis B'Kriya Ka'anoshim. The Rambam doesn't make a hair's breadth of a difference between women and men. They're all obligated in the same way. So it means that Afein Hoy Bosanes, according to the Rambam Shita, upgrades their chiyuv to that which is equal to that of a man. Says the Brisker Rav, you know what that means? The Rambam understood that Afein Hoy Bosanes completely undermines and neutralizes the Ptur of Zman Grama. And that puts women back into the same category as the men. Just like the men were obligated in Mikra Megillah, So to the women are obligated Megillah. And therefore, if we completely bracket the concept of Zman Groma, what we're left with is that women are obligated not only in Shmia, but even in Kriya. Because we've completely undermined the entire application of Afein Oibos on this. Women have now the identical Chiv with men. The Bahag, on the other hand, understood that the Afein Oibos on this doesn't have the power to completely undermine and neutralize the universal halacha of Zman Grom of Noshim Pturos. So as far as the Iker Chiyuv of the Mitzvah Megillah, it was established only for men and not for women. Women are exempt because it's Zman Grom. Now we're going to obligate the women under a new category, which the Bahag identifies as Shmia, namely Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes. So that's a brand new Chiyuv, not to be identified with the universal Chiyuv that applies to men. So men are obligated not only in Shmia, but also in Kriya. Women only have the obligation of Shmia. That's the Brisker Rav. Now, if you take a look at the paragraph Venira on the bottom right of page Reish Sadi Vav, he says the following. That if we're going to say that there's no Ptur of Zman Groma with regard to Megillah, and we're going to accept the Shitas HaRambam, so that's only as far as Noshim are concerned, right? Because Noshim have the mitzvah, they're included in all the obligations of mitzvahs. Narvas, you're going to tell me, but Megillah is a time-bound mitzvah. Well, that we don't accept, because we have now Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes. So now Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes, according to the Rambam Shita, can put women back into the original mitzvah, and they have the identical chiyuv as men. However, let's talk about Ketanim. Ketanim were never included in any of the chiyuvim of the mitzvahs. And therefore, the Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes is a brand new chiyuv. And if that be the case, that Ketanim are chayuv, as we saw, because of Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes, that's already a new chiyuv. It's not identical with the classical chiyuv that, according to the Rambam, applies to both men and women. And therefore, even though Ketanim are Ptur Mikol HaMitzvahs, but nevertheless, in the case of Megillah, because of Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes, the chayev, but it's a brand new chiyuv. If that be the case, in other words, if we present a fundamental difference between Noshim in Megillah and Ketanim in Megillah, again according to the Rambam Shita, then everything fits into place. The Rambam and the Bahag are going to argue Lishitosam. That's called the Tamayu Asli, right? The Rambam holds that women are obligated in Kriyas and Megillah, because in the same way that men are obligated, meaning in both Kriya and Shmia, because he holds that Afein Hoyu Bosanes is not a brand new Chiyuv, but rather it puts women back into the Chiyuv vis-a-vis Zman Groma. And we completely bracket and completely neutralize the concept of Zman Groma. Is Memela, when we get to Ketanim, their Chiyuv in the Megillah, right, is only a Chiyuv of Afein Hoyu. Just 1 second. I lost my trend. Just 1 second. In the case of the Rambam, that Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes is coming to exclude the Zman Groma, right? And it's coming to exclude Zman Groma. Therefore, women are obligated the same way that men are. Is Mishum Hachi? Here's the punchline. Let's see if we can. Mishum Hachi Sfirulei the Ketanim, the Rambam holds the Ketanim Einich Hayov B'Mikr Megillah Rak Mitam Chinuch V'Lo Mitam Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes. Just give me 1 second to work out the mathematics here. If we're saying that Af Hein Hoyu can only put them back into the original Chiyuv, correct? Because why do we take the Noshim out of the original Chiyuv? That was because of Lord Zman Groma. Now comes along, according to the Rambam, comes along the Svara and the principle of Af Hein Hoyu, and now it puts them back into the original Chiyuv. We only lowered the Chiyuv or removed the Chiyuv on Noshim because Zman Groma comes along Af Hein Hoyu and it knocks out the Zman Groma element. So we're left with the Iker Chiyuv. In the case of a Katan, we can't do the same thing because the Katan was never included in the original Chiyuv. And therefore the whole mechanics of Af Hein Hoyu Bosanes is not going to apply to someone who was never included in the Chiyuv. Again, you could argue with him on this, but here's the mechanics. When you're included in the Chiyuv, then we could say that if there are external reasons and principles that might take you out of the chiyuv, we're going to deflect those. We're going to neutralize those because of afein koyu bosanes. But afein koyu bosanes could never generate a chiyuv where it didn't exist before. And that's all true according to the Rambam. But now we take the Bahag Shita. The Bahag Shita was that afein koyu bosanes is a brand new chiyuv. And it only applies to generate a chiyuv of shmiya and not kriya. So as far as the original chiyuv is concerned, we still remain with Zman Groma and Noshim Pturos. Now we have a principle of afein hoyo bosanes, which can create a chiyuv when the chiyuv is completely removed, and that's a brand new chiyuv called afein hoyo bosanes, which dances to its own tune, has its own regulations. That we can impose even on ketanim. So again, we go back to the Bahag, and let's see the language of the Bahag again, as quoted by Tosis in Erechin. He says, Noshim v'avonim ketanim pturim mikra megila, aval chayovim b'shmiya. In other words, the original ptur applies to both Nashim and Ketanim. It applies to Nashim because of Zman Groma. It applies to Ketanim because a Katan is allowed by Chiyuva. Avol Chayovim Bishmiya because of Afein Oyu Bosanes. Meaning the Bahag can apply Afein Oyu Bosanes to impose a Chiyuva on the Ketanim because he understood that Afein Oyu Bosanes could create a Chiyuva where one doesn't exist. Like in the case of Nashim, because he's already established in his opening line that Nashim avonim ketanim pturim mikra megila. But the Rambam l'shitas who holds that afein hoyu bosanes is only to neutralize, knock off, and bump off the Zman Groma element and bring us back to the real chiyuv, that mechanics could not work with regard to a katan. Is l'fi zeh, now we can explain the bir agra in a way that it doesn't contradict the comment of the gra on the Megillah. Habira Rabbi Shulchanos because of the Ketanim Einim Chayovim Rak Midin Chinuch. Correct, he applies the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Shubin Levi. Rabbi Shubin Levi gathered together his whole family, making sure that they would hear the Megillah, including the Ketanim, and that's Midin Chinuch. That means that he's explaining the Shita of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, because according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, there's no afein hoyu bosanes with regard to ketanim, because afein hoyu bosanes going to the Rambam could only apply where you were included in the original chiyuv, namely to nashim, and then we can neutralize this man groma, and therefore nashim achayev v'mikra megilah midin afein hoyu bosanes in the same identical chiyuv as a man. That's fine. So according to the Rambam, then the idea that ketanim could be chayav and mikra megillah could never be because of afein hoyu bosanes, because again afein hoyu bosanes only operates where there was an original chiyuv. Like in the case of nashim, they were just exempt from that chiyuv because it's zman groma, and afein brings them back to the original chiyuv. So there's no afein. The whole mechanics of afein cannot apply to ketanim according to the Rambam. Memela says the Gaon that the only reason the ketanim would be mechayev, the only reason the Shulchan Aruch could be mechayev the ketanim is only because of chinuch, and that's what we derive from the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. However, the commentary of the Gaon on Esther, he's going according to the sheet of the Bahag. And the Shita of the Bahag is that women are chayv with a brand new chiyuv. It's not the same chiyuv of the original one. They're exempt from kriya, and they're only chayv in shmiya, because afein hoyu bosanes has the power to create a brand new chiyuv. The Mela, the Gaon says that the chiyuv on ketanim is also mitam afein hoyu bosanes. So in other words, the fundamental difference here between the Shulchan Aruch and the Bahag is going to be not just in Noshim, but also in Ketanim. According to the Rambam Lishitoso, that a woman is obligated to Mikra Megillah the same way a man is, that means that a Katan can only be Chayav Midin Chinuch. But if you go with the Bahag, that a woman has a different Chiyuv, which is generated by Afein Hoy Bosanes, and that's a Chiyuv of what? Shmiya without Kriya, then you could say the same thing applies even to a katan. A katan could also become obligated in a brand new mitzvah of afhein hoyu bosanes. And therefore he ends off by saying, Svirle the Gaon says, the afhein hoyu bosanes havitam l'chayv. On according to Bahag, afhein hoyu bosanes is able to be mechayv l'ketanim. Is afmi divrei kabbalah. Now the Gaon wants to add another element to the equation, that the chiyuv of ketanim is not just the chiyuv of afein hoyu bosanes, the chiyuv drabanan. We can even upgrade it to the level of midivrei kabbalah. Why? Because the pasuk says lo yosuf mizaram, and what does lo yosuf mizaram come to include? Ketanim. is therefore ketana machayev v'mikra megillah midivrei kabbalah. So it's amazing. What happens is that according to the Gaon, with regard to the Bhag, there's a two-step process. The first step of the process with regard to ketanim is to obligate them in mikra megillah b'toras afein hoyvol sanes. Now, once you've included them in afein hoyvol sanes, you can even upgrade them to the next level, namely what? Midivrei kabbalah. And why is that? Because of the pasuk. But all this all works out only according to the Bahag, but according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch standing on the shoulders of the Rambam, afein hoyvos hanes is only meaningful with regard to someone who is included in the chiyuv as opposed to a katan, and therefore afein hoyvos hanes could have no impact on a katan. We can only fall back on the universal mitzvah of what? Of chinuch.
So if you put together,
yeah.
You put together the gra and the Bahag. Right, so the Bahag holds, like we pass it like the Ramah, like the Bahag, right? So that a katan could therefore be motzi, a gadol, even during the day.
That should come out because, according to the Vilna Gaon, the pasuk itself, the Yosef Yizaram, is obligating the ketanim not because of chinuch, and not even midivrei, not even a level of derabbanan, because it's written in the Megillah. Mm-hmm. And if it's encoded in the Megillah, it goes all the way to midivrei kabbalah. In which case, a cut would have this. So, what I asked you a few minutes ago, would you throw me out of the base medrash for suggesting the possibility that a cut could read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol? I don't know. It becomes like a little bit of a serious enterprise. Yeah, you feel?
No, I'm just saying, is this answer that he gives to explain the steer in the grudge, is it consistent with the grudge elsewhere? I mean, does the grudge always explain on the Shulchan Aruch based on the view of the Shulchan Aruch?
Oh, yes.
Opinion?
Yeah, that I think you can prove. Whether or not you can prove that his commentary on the Megillah reflects the sheet of the Bahag, that's you know, that's stepping out into the yonder, you know, the wild blue yonder. You know, that he has no basis for that.
So how do we know what the Gra himself holds?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I don't know the rules and the regulations of that. I would assume that unless I know otherwise, that the Gaon paskens like the Shulchan Aruch. Do you follow what I mean? In other words, what he comments on the Megillah is theoretical, but when he gets to the Shulchan Aruch, he's telling you halacha l'maisa. So it comes out that the Gaon, if you assume he accepted the shita of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, which means that the Gaon would hold that women have the obligation like the man, which means that afein hoy works in that sense, then a katan would only have a chiyuv of chinuch.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much meduyak in the Rambam, because the Rambam says the following. Hakol chayom v'kriyasa, because again the Rambam holds that afein hoyvos hanes puts everybody on the same level, but then he goes out of his way to say u'mechanchim es haketanim v'kriyasa. So it sounds like the Rambam could give the katan no better of a grade than the mitzvah of chinuch. I mean, you can always ask the question: why did the Rambam have to go out of his way to say mechanchim es haketanim v'kriyasa? The Gaon says it's because it's based on the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yeshua Levi. I mean, why do I need that? Because obviously the katan is obligated in chinuch just like he's obligated in all the mitzvahs. Now, Rabosai, if you flip side of your page, you should find in your photocopy something here called a Hare Kedem. Mm-hmm. Simon Reish.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I find interesting about this Hare Kedem in Simon Reish is that he seems to be operating with a lot of the premises that we saw here in the Gevurah Yitzchak. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in his stomach, you know, before he gets to the Eish Omrim, that women have the same chiyuv in Mikra Megillah as men, which sounds like he's accepting the Rambam. But then he quotes the Eish Omer, which is the Bahag, that puts women on a different level. They'll only chayav in Shmiah, but not in Kriya. But then, to make life even more complicated, the Magen Avraham comments in Shulchan Aruch Tofresh Peites that a woman should not read the Megillah on behalf of another woman. Now that's a pellet. Because you want to tell me that according to the Bahag, a woman can't read for a man because her chiyuv is only Shmiah, and his chiyuv is includes not only shmiyas kriya, fine, nicha. But now to say to the woman who's chayav in kriya, excuse me, in shmiya, cannot read on behalf of another woman, what's the issue over there? Because they both have the identical level of chiyuv, they're both obligated in shmiya. So according to this transmission, the Rav has the Yerushalmi Megillah in mind. Do you remember the Yerushalmi Megillah tells us that Reb Shuman Levi, or maybe it was Bar Kapara, whoever it was, used to gather together his family, and it's both Bar Kapara and Reb Shuman Levi, and he would read the Megillah in front of them. The Rav has a new twist on this Yerushalmi, and he says the following, that the Shitas of Ahag is based on this Yerushalmi, means that the Chiyuv Shmiya, which the Bahag postulates in the case of Noshim, is not a Chiyuv Shmiya that begins with the Isha. It sort of ends with the Isha. Why? Because in the Yerushalmi, the women would gather together so that what?
They could hear the
Megillah from the head of the household, whether it's by Kapara, Yeshua, Levi. In other words, the Chiyuv is incumbent upon the man to gather together his family. And he says the following, Mevuar, this is on the paragraph on the top, the Einal Anoshim Chiyuv Likros Li'atzman Es HaMegillah Kol Chiyuvim Ela. You know, it works like this. If I have to read the Megillah publicly, or let's say in a neighborhood or my family and so forth and so on, I have to get together everybody to hear the Megillah. Let me ask you a question. Do I get together a guy? Should I invite my neighbor John Paul Jones to hear the Megillah? Why not? Because his shmiya is meaningless. So the halacha now is in a very tense kind of situation. On the one hand, a woman is not obligated in Megillah. On the other hand, he's obligated, the balabais, to read the Megillah in front of her. But her hearing in the Megillah is meaningless. So what's the answer? What was the Bahag's solution to this problem? She has to hear the Megillah. Do you hear? You hear the way the mechanics work. If you don't agree that her chiyuv is a chiyuv shmiya, then how does he, the balabais, fulfill his obligation by reading the Megillah in front of a woman? It should be like reading a Megillah in front of a behemah. You know, the behemah is not chayiv in mikra Megillah. So what meaning, what significance can you give to the shmiya of someone who's not even included in the mitzvah? So if we want to get that secondary chiyuv, that not only are you obligated to read the Megillah yourself, but you have to read it on behalf of your family, you have to make sure that the members of your family also have a halachically meaningful chiyuv of hearing the Megillah. Let's read it inside. He says, "El kol achiv sheyesh lahem, hu al yidei anoshim." So why are women obligated? It's a, like, you know the phrase in Yiddish, a nachschlepper, right? It's their chiv is like a nachschlepper chiv. Why? Because the chiv is on the men. Vehem chayovim likros amegilah fnei anoshim. Vanoshim yishvu es amegilah. So the noshim are going to say to me, well, why do I have to listen to my husband's Megillah? I'm not chayav Megillah. He's got his problem. Let him take his wares and sell them elsewhere. Why am I obligated to hear the Megillah? And not only that, what meaning would it be for the women to hear the Megillah from the men if they don't have this entity called Megillah? The answer to the Bahag is no. Hanoshim chayovos b'shmiya. They can't just say, well, it's your problem, my great, wonderful husband. You want to read the Megillah, I'm not interested. No, they have an obligation in shmiya. Once they have a kiyum shmiya, their shmiya is valid halachically. It represents a shmiya of kiyum ha-mitzvah. Is that what the Magen Avraham holds, that a woman cannot read the Megillah for a man? Well, I'm sorry. A woman cannot read the Megillah for another woman. Why? Because the only what generated the chiyuv on a woman is so that to facilitate the men being yotzei their mitzvah of kriya. And how can they be yotzei the mitzvah of kriya b'fnei anoshim unless women are obligated in shmiya? So the whole chiyuv shmiya exhausts itself in facilitating his chiyuv of reading the Megillah in front of them.
But it doesn't answer the question: where's her chiyuv shmiya come from?
Her chiyuv shmiya comes from the fact that otherwise his chiyuv cannot be fulfilled. So when the Rabbanon instituted the chiyuv on the man, they instituted a double chiyuv. Number one is that read the Megillah. Number two, read it in front of your family.
Or also Hanes, comes along to create a new
right.
of Shmiah.
Right, right. He's operating.
If
I'm not mistaken, he's operating even without the Afein Hoivos. As the next paragraph will introduce Afein Hoivos.
To me, that's more problematic.
Right, right, right. But only because of this Yushalmi. You know, if not for the Yushalmi, we would never have said such a thing. And then he tells you that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik holds that the chiyuv of women is afhein hoyvos adnes, a whole different approach to the Bahag. And he says that they're excluded from the Iker mitzvah of Megillah because it's man groma. Now, afhein hoyvos adnes engenders a new chiyuv, a brand new chiyuv, and that brand new chiyuv is only a chiyuv of shmiya. It's not part of the chiyuv of kriya. Valkein enem yecholim lahotzi the kriya, kevin chenem mitzvah mitzvahs kriya. Fine. So we have now a whole new approach to the Baha. All right. Now, before we go on, you should have another piece in the Hari Kedem. I tried to correct my photocopy here, and it should be Simon Reish Aleph. Do you have such a thing? And it carries on. The bulk of it is on the next page. So if you have those two pages, you can open them in front of your eyes. Okay. There's a whole sugya in Masechta Megillah about Iser Malach on Purim. And the final conclusion of the Gemara is that technically there is no Iser Malach on Purim, which is a gvaldige chidush, because the Gemara argues that it says that when Esther and Mordechai sent out the Igros, they asked it to be Yomim Tovim. Mm-hmm. And a yontiv should include an Iser Malacha by definition. So the Gemara in Megillah says, but if you look at the ultimate Kabbalah, meaning when they, the people of Israel, accepted upon themselves these Igros, they only accepted it as Yimei Simcha V'Sason, but not as days of yontiv, meaning that there's no Iser Malacha. However, there are those who have a Minhag. The Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Tzadi Vav codifies this Minhag, that there are those who have the minog of Issa Malacha on Purim. And Rav Soloveitchik is now vacillating, what about Leil Purim? According to those who have that minog, should they be knowing this minog even at night? And this is a machlokes haposkim. Again, Rav Soloveitchik is totally unaware of this. Whatever you see in brackets, that's Rav Shurkin adding. It's a machlokes haposkim as to whether or not there's an Issa Malacha, according to those who are knowing an Issa Malacha, for 24 hours, even including the night. Okay. So now you can turn to page Shin Lamed Gimel. I hope it doesn't happen this week, although they're predicting it. Okay. So it says the following, that the Gemara quotes the din of Makom Shenagu Shalo Lasos Molocha, and the Gemara says that it's only a matter of minog in Makom Shenagu. Then the Gemara asks about Rebbe. The Gemara says that Rebbe publicly planted a tree on Purim. And you heard me right. I didn't say Tu B'Shvat. He planted a tree on Purim to demonstrate that there's no Issa Malach on Purim. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute. Isn't it totally in Minog? So why did he go out of his way to publicly desecrate the Issa Malach on Purim and plant a tree? So the Gemara says the following, that the Asri de Rebbe lo Nagu, he wasn't trying to exclude that minhag, it's a valid minhag, but he wanted to show that in his gegen, you know, in his areas, they didn't have that minhag. So therefore, we're allowed to do malach. But then the Gemara gives an ibois eimah. And the Gemara's second answer is the following, that there was such a minhag, even in Asrei de Rebbe, they didn't do malach on Purim. But Rebbe was notea on a tia shel simcha. And an atiyah shel simcha is mutter on Purim, even if you accept the minhag. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to understand why, if Rebbe was noteh on atiyah shel simcha, and that's not included in the iser of malacha, according to those who have such a minhag, why did the Gemara foot drag over here? First, the Gemara answers no, Rebbe came from a place where they didn't have that minhag. Why did the Gemara just skip all that? Just tell me. This new chiddush l'halacha that Rebbe wanted to be mechadish, that a simcha shel, a netiyah shel simcha is mutter on yontif. It would seem that the ibois aim of the fact that the Gemara offers these two answers, meaning the Gemara postulates that it's very possible that the Issa Molocha on Purim, for those who have that meaning, would include also Netiyah Shel Simcha. So Rav Soloveitchik says the following, that the way he understands the development of the Sugya, in the original postulate, the Gemara assumed that there was an Issa Molocha on Purim, because the Pasuk says Yom Tov. It's only Lamaskana, the Gemara says that no, lo kiblu alayim, they never accepted Yontif and an Issa Molocha. In the Hava meaning, the Gemara thinks that the Issa Molocha is based on kiblu alayim yom ha-purim ki Yontif. He says that that Issa Molocha would include even an Atiyah Shel Simcha. It's only in the Maskana Sa Gemara, when the Gemara says that Purim is not a Yontif, they never accepted it as such, and the Issa Molocha is only totally the Minog, then you could be Matir a Netiyah Shel Simcha. So in other words, the Gemara hesitates in justifying Rebbe as by imposing, by interpreting that it was a Netiyah Shel Simcha, because the Gemara knows that there's a very possibility, a great possibility, that Purim has a din of Yontif. It's only Lamaskana that it doesn't have a din of Yontif, and then it's totally B'minah. So then we're going to introduce, well, there's a heter of Netiyah Shel Simcha. Now the question is, why would it... Now, what's the difference? This is the rub of the discussion. What's the difference between A, which is Yontif, meaning an Issa Molocha B'Toras Yontif, and B, an Issa Molocha B'Toras Yontif because of Minhag? In other words, why is it that the Gemara hesitates about a heter of Netiyah Shel Simcha, because the Gemara is not sure whether or not the Iser Malacha is based on Yontif or it's based on Minog? What difference does it make? Whether it's based on Minog or it's based on Yontif, you should assume the same conclusion as to whether or not Netiyah Shel Simcha is Mutter. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that when it comes to Iser Malacha, there are two ways of understanding an Iser Malacha. One is B'Toras Shvisa. Shvisa means abstain from Malacha. This is a day of resting, and that makes it into a Yontif. Yontif, Shabbos, is a day of resting, and there's an Issa Molocha. Oh. However, there's another way of understanding the Issa Molocha, and that is, it is antithetical to Simcha. Has nothing to do with Shvisa. There's no din of Shvisa on Purim, period. The Issa Molocha, if it exists, is not B'Toras Yontif, again in the Maskanas HaSugya, but only B'Toras Simcha. And that was the Minhag. The Minhag accepted upon itself an Iser Malacha because of the Simchas HaYom of Purim. That's called Hesech Hadas MiSimcha. In other words, if a person is involved in Malacha, he's not focused on Simcha. So we don't want to divert him from his focus on Simcha. He says, okay, now we have the nafkamina of Netiyah Shel Simcha. He says, if the Malacha is also B'Toras Malacha because of Shvisa, then he says it includes any kind of Malacha, whether it's a Malacha, Sheyesh Ba Simcha, or a Netiyah Shel Simcha, it's not a Netiyah Shel Simcha. Like a Netiyah Shel Simcha means, you know, we're preparing for a chasana, so we need wood, you know, to create a chuppah or something, whatever the case of Simcha might be. If you look in Rashi, there's an unbelievable diuk in Rashi. Rashi in the Sugya says the following. Kevan de Purim Yom Simcha Hu, Mutar Lintoa Netiyah Shel Simcha. When Rashi wants to justify Rebbe, that Rebbe allowed, even in a place where they had a minhag, to abstain from Malacha, he allowed planting a tree of Simcha, Rashi says the reason for that is because Purim itself is a Yom of Simcha. So if Purim would be a Yontif, and as a Yontif it generates a mitzvah of Shvisa, so I have to abstain from Malacha because of Shvisa, then even the Netiyah Shel Simcha would be prohibited. But if what generates the Iser Malacha is Simcha Shel Purim, then the Netiyah Shel Simcha does not undermine, it doesn't form a Hesek Hadas from Simcha. On the contrary, it could be considered part of the mitzvah of Simcha.
Could one make the same dig about the Iser Malacha for the Merd?
Correct. What is the nature?
Not Shvisa and Torah. It's more
simple. Excellent. What is the nature of Issa Molocha and Chol HaMoed? I wasn't going to talk about it, but if you mention it, there are two ways of understanding Issa Molocha and Chol HaMoed. One is to say that Chol HaMoed is a Yontif, it's a Moed, and has an Issa Molocha. that means that the malacha per se is asur. The other way is to say is that the mitzvah of esamachta b'chagecha incorporates all 7 days. And you shouldn't be meisiach das for that simcha. So the poskim write that you're allowed to turn on lights on Yontif. And you don't even need, on Chol Moed, I'm sorry. Yontif is a different question. Okay. But as far as Chol Moed is concerned, you're allowed to turn on lights on Yontif. And the poskim say that you don't have to fit into one of the various categories, you know, Litzok HaKol Nefesh, or Litzok HaMoed, forget about all that, just turn on lights, have fun. Turn on all your lights, turn them on and off as long as you want. Why? So they say because the Isa Malach on Chol Moed is only because of what? Simcha. And turning on lights does not undermine your Simcha. Lefi Zeh HaYenir Aloma, that came into Belal Purim, that we originally wanted to discuss whether or not this minog of Isa Malach applies even in the night of Purim. He says, Ein mitzvah simcha no eges balayla. Again, in my yeshiva, it was Mavaseret, this was not accepted. I can't even begin to describe to you what happened on Leil Purim in Mavaseret. But al pi halacha, it's all a bunch of malachi. There is no simcha on Leil Purim. Because the Torah says, the Megillah says, Yemei smishta v'simcha. And the Gemara says, Yomim v'lo leilos. And therefore, Sudas Purim Shalchel Balayla Lo Yatsi Dechovaso. So you want to get drunk on Leil Purim, go ahead and do so. But don't call it a Kiyuma Mitzvah. It's totally meaningless. Because the Mitzvah of Mishteh and Suda only applies by day and not by night. And if that be the case, if there's no Simcha at night, it's just a Kriyas HaMegillah at night, then there is no problem of a minog of Issa Malach, because the whole nature of Issa Malach mitzad minog is because of Simcha, not to be meisiach das from the mitzvah of Simcha, and that only applies by day and not by night. Now, Rabosa, you know, I like to learn with you a little bit of Hashkafa for Purim, so we're trying to plow through the Sefer called Pachad Yitzchak. So I made a few copies here, maybe you can give it out. It should be 2 pages, I only have 3 copies. I gave out, I think, a few copies yesterday, so anyone who got it yesterday doesn't take it today. And we're looking at page Mem Ches, Inyan Tes. So let me present to you the question of the Pachad Yitzchak. Now, if you know the style of the Pachad Yitzchak, he asks a question, and then he puts the question on the back burners. And you have to turn a switch in which you forget about the question. It's only after he rounds the entire bases that he comes back to answer that question. But let's just formulate the question, because, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Does he, you know, after he goes through this whole presentation, does he come back and adequately answer the question? We have a principle which the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Tehillim, that this is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph. Asur lemalei schok piv ba'olam hazeh. Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, azi malei schok piv. So only at the time of Mashiach, at the time of the Achris Hayomim, then we're allowed to laugh away. But there's no laughing before that. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means you can't overdo it. So the question is, how do we reconcile that with Simcha Shel Mitzvah and Simcha Shel Purim? So the Elio Rabo, who's one of the super commentaries of Orthodox Ashkenazim on the Shulchan Aruch, he writes at the end of Siman Tovkuf Samach that you know why there's no violation of Ozi Mole Schok Pinu with regard to Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Excuse me, Simcha Shel Mitzvah. He says the following, because the Simcha Shel Mitzvah doesn't belong to Olam Hazeh. The Gemara says, "Asul Yadu Lamali as Piv Schok Bi Olam Hazeh." Simcha Shel Mitzvah, he says, belongs to a different world. It belongs to the eternal world. But then he says that the Simcha of Purim likewise fits into a different category, and he says it's mutter. So the schok of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, is not considered a schok of Olam Hazeh. So it's not included in the Iser, which is specifically limited to Olam Hazeh. Fine. But when he gets to Simcha Shel Purim, and he says that's allowed, and it's not a violation of Ozi Malei Schok Pinu, he doesn't give an answer. He just says it's mutter. And again, if he would have included in the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, fine. But he doesn't say that the Simcha of Purim is included on the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. He has it as a separate category. And he doesn't seem to have a logical justification for why Simcha Shel Purim is mutter, even though Azi Malei Schokpim. So put that question, as I said, on the back burners. Okay, we'll get back to the Mirtz Hashem at the end. The Pachad Yitzchak says that this distinction between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, with regard to the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Aleph, Milui Peh B'schok, is raised and addressed by the Gemara in a totally different context, in the Sugya in Brachos on Daf Zayin. And the Gemara addresses the following question. What relationship do we have? How do we relate to Rishonim, to evildoers? And the Gemara says that there's a distinction between two types of evildoers. One type is called Hasha'a Misacheches Lo. Now, Misacheches is just a conjugation of the word Schok, correct? And this is all going to kick back into Ozi Mole Schok people. So keep in mind that with regard to a Rasha, Shasha Misacheches Lo, the Gemara establishes Asur, Asur Ligros Berasha, Ligaros Berasha. So we're enjoined from provocating or provoking or, shall we say, antagonizing a Rasha, Shasha Misacheches Lo. The Gemara says, Bamedvar Mum, that only applies to a tzaddik. But to a tzaddik Gomur, he's allowed to provoke a Rasha, even though it's Shah Misacheches Lo. So the Pachad Yitzchak says that the simple explanation of the Gemara, on a very superficial level, is that a tzaddik she'eino gamur, although he has certain zchuyot, he has merits, but they're not strong enough and powerful enough to overcome a Rasha who's begeder Shah Misacheches Lo. Don't mess around with him. You're not allowed to provoke such a Rasha. The man is living on the highs, you know. You think of, I don't know what example you can give, but in America we have something called a mafia, you know. And if you go into certain neighborhoods, you know, these guys have, you know, I can't even describe the wealth that they have, right? So some of them actually are guilty of murder. I mean, not necessarily, they don't do the dirty work themselves, you know. You know, that's, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. You know, your godfather in that case is, you know, he has a hitman, you know, but they're really Rosh Hashanah Misacheches Lo. But again, each person, you can always envision whatever vision you want of a Rosh Hashanah Misacheches Lo. But if you're a Tzadik Gomor, you have tremendous chuyot, then you don't have to be afraid of a Rosh, you can antagonize a Rosh, even though the Rosh Hashanah Misacheches Lo. So the Pachad Yitzchak says he's not happy with that interpretation. He thinks it's too simple, it's too superficial. He wants to find something much more profound to explain why is it that a tzaddik gomur is able, he's allowed to antagonize and provoke a rasha shasha misacheches. So he postulates the following. There's a concept called lag or tzchok, which means that I laugh with you. Okay? Now, it really means one of two things. Either I'm laughing with you or I'm laughing at you. And he says the following, Yesh tzchok shel chanifa. In some cases, I'm afraid of you, so I'm going to give you a smiley face of chanifa. Inside, it's a bunch of hogwash. I don't really want to laugh with you at all, but on the outside, externally, I'm going to show you a kind of flattery, and I'm going to flatter you by laughing with you. And then there's a case where you laugh at someone because you're making fun of them. That's called a schok shalag. So again, if I had the time to write this on the whiteboard, I would say, yesh schok shal chanifa, v'yesh schok shalag. So when a person wants to flatter someone, he shows him punim sochakos, he shows him a laughter. And he's really trying to mislead the guy into thinking that he likes him, but really anything but is the truth. In other cases, when you laugh, you're laughing at someone. And that's really a schok of lag, of bizayon. And really, you're laughing at him, you're making fun of him. That's typical, and just in my own footnote of what we went through during the Holocaust. I mean, all the lag and the schok that the enemy showed against us, I don't even want to mention them by name, but you know what I mean. That was all a lag of bizayon. They would just laugh at us and make fun of us. And the more public it was, the more they would enjoy that. And you go through the kinnis of Tisha B'Av, you'll see it over and over again. The concept of lag, which is a lag of disdain, a lag of bizayon, of humiliating someone. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a Rasha with schok, which is called Shasha Misacheches LeRasha, what is the nature of that schok? The Pachad Yitzchok claims that that's a double schok. It has both elements to it. On the one hand, it's a schok in which he shows the Rasha that he's living on high, you know, he's really doing the great thing, so to speak. That's called a schok of Chanifa, and it's all meant to mislead the Rasha into thinking that everything is fine. On the other hand, the schok of the Shah Misachekes of a Rasha is lag. It's absolutely making fun of him, laughing at him. So it's Chanifa Mibachutz. On the outside it looks like Chanifa. God is showing him, hey, you're doing well, you know, you're really great. On the other hand, on the inside, it's lag. It's making fun of him. It's bizayon. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, and this is in Kapitel Tzadi Beis. It says, "Befroach v'sha'im lashmidam adei ad." So there, it's clear that the pasuk is referring to a lag mibifnim, because Bifrach Rishoyim, which means that the Rishoyim are flourishing, everything's blossoming, they're making millions. All of this is for the purpose of Lashmidam Adeyat. The ultimate goal is not what it looks like on the outside, but on the inside, it's lag. It's a tzchok shalak. He quotes another pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Yoshev Bashamayim Yischak Yilag Lomo. He's making fun of the Rishoyim. So it works like this. He says the following. What is the relationship of schok to a rasha, shasha mesacheches lo? He calls it a yedia pshuta, that this schok on a deeper level isn't anything but a schok of nachas ruach, chalila. The schok, and here we're going on to page Mem Tes, is not a schok of nachas ruach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the Rasha, obviously. But rather, it might be a schok of Chanifa. It might be a way of misleading the guy to this Rasha to continue in his ways. Or, on a pneumistical level, inside it's a schok of lag. And now we get to the difference between a stam tzaddik and a tzaddik gomor. The tzaddik who's a stam tzaddik, when he looks at the schok of a rasha, v'shasha rasha misacheches lo, and he's unable to see the ultimate goal of lag, of lishamdom ade ad, of the inner pnimius of the schok, he looks on the outside. And what he sees is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating to this rasha, to this rasha v'shasha misacheches lo, as a lag of Chanifa. Again, to mislead the Russian to thinking, you know, we're all on board with you. So according to the understanding of this tzaddik, that the Russia is experiencing Chanifa, well, he has to imitate God, and he too has to be Ochez B'midas HaChanifa. He's not allowed to antagonize the Russia, provoke the Russia. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the way the tzaddik sees it, is bestowing, you know, all these gifts and all, you know, everything good on the Russia, because he wants to let the Russia think, You know what? Continue in your ways. So if that is the schok of Hanifa, then the tzaddik has to go in the same way, because girui, to antagonize the Rasha, is the opposite of Hanifa. However, when we get to a tzaddik gomur, the tzaddik gomur sees the pnimius in absolute clarity. What he sees with his perceptive eye to the depth, way beyond the surface level, his madrig is to see that schok on the pnimius level is not at all Hanifa, but rather it's lag. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is laughing at this Rasha. And the tzaddik gomer knows that this schok on its most in profound level should be interpreted as schok shel lag. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is laughing at the Rasha with the schok shel lag, then he, the tzaddik gomer, could follow in the footsteps of Almighty, and he too could relate to the guy as a schok shalag. A schok shalag means that he can antagonize the Rasha. Misheino roe b'schok hazel esiman shel chanifa. It's only onas dvarim. It's to try to trip up this Rasha and have him continue his ways. So he has to continue the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a schok shel chanifa. But if he sees the schok on its deepest level, and he understands that what God is doing is he's making fun of the Rasha, it's a schok shalag on the pnimistika level, that mitoshu roa b'schok zeh, since the schok in the eyes and the perception of the tzaddik is nothing, has nothing to do with Hanifa, it's not a simon of Hanifa, correct? Then, if Hashem is not doing Hanifa, then he too has no heter of Hanifa. You know, because Hanifa involves a certain element of sheker, where on the outside you show a certain face, but on the inside you really hate the guy and you disdain him. He says, therefore, on the contrary, in order to fulfill his obligation and follow in the footsteps of God, is mutalo, again we're talking about a tzaddik gomer, is garos afilu b'rosha shoshem asachekeslo. So the distinction in the Gemara on Daf Zayin between a tzaddik gomer and a tzaddik she'eino gomer is not just because the tzaddik gomer has more zchuyot and he could start up with the rush, he doesn't have to be afraid of it, but rather it's a difference in terms of the whole attitude, the whole perception of what the schok of shal mesachek eslo is happening. Because the tzaddik she'eino gomer sees it as chanifa, he only sees it on the external level, and therefore for him it's just Hanifa vis-a-vis the Rosh. Whereas the tzaddik gomer has a deeper perception in which he sees not Hanifa, but rather a lag of bizayon, a lag of making fun of the Rosh. Therefore in his tfisa, the tzaddik gomer should be imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam with a schok of lag. Now let's talk about Megillas Esther. Haman had a taina against Mordechai. This is based on a medrash in Megillas Esther, Parsha Zayin. What was Haman's claim against Mordechai? Why didn't he bow down to him? So Haman said to Mordechai, wait a minute, the Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Gimel, Vayishtach veYaakov liEsav, Yaakov, bow down to Esav. What was that, Rabosai? That was Hanifa, correct? It was all on the outside. But Haman said that you, Mordechai, should follow the footsteps of your great ancestor, Yaakov Avinu, and just like he was Mishtachav El Esav, you should be Mishtachav to me. So why isn't Mordechai bowing down to me? So the Medrash says that Mordechai responded with the following. That he, Mordechai, is Ish Yemini, he's a descendant of Binyamin. At the time that Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esav, Binyamin was not yet born. He was the only one of the Shvatim that wasn't alive yet. And therefore this Shevet Binyamin, is a singular Shevet amongst all the Shvatim, and it has a koach, a certain power of Kedusha, a special sanctity that doesn't apply to any other Shvatim. What is that sanctity, and what is the power of Shevet Binyamin? How is it unique? How is it singular? And the answer is that Binyamin is going to reject any sort of schok of Lag Shel Chanifa. He doesn't have on his agenda, on his radar screen, this concept called Lag of Chanifa. That means that even in a Russia that Shom is Achekeslo, he is not going to implement a Chanifa. And therefore, if we turn to page Nun, he says the following, that the schok that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows or showers upon a Rasha, when it's Rosh Hashanah Shomes HaChekeslo, in the perception of Binyamin in his Shevet, is just lag. It's liglug mar. It's some sort of bitter kind of, you know, making fun of him. That's the koch of Binyamin. And therefore, Binyamin, since he never participated in the Shtachavah of Esav, he doesn't have on his radar screen the concept of a schok shel chanifa. And this power of Binyamin is transmitted to the entire Shevet. And all of Shevet Binyamin, Mordechai says, Ish Yamini, I belong to Shevet Binyamin. I also have inherited from my forefather Binyamin this power of understanding that Shoshem Sachekeslo is not a Chanifa, but rather it's on the contrary, it's Girui, it's to antagonize, it's to provoke the Rasha. Oh wow, this is unbelievable. I don't know if anyone is as excited about this as I am, but again, you know, one of the main problems of Megillas Esther, in my humble opinion, is trying to understand Mordechai. Mordechai refuses to bow down to Esau. And the Medrash says, to Haman. And the Medrash says that Haman had a good argument. Haman was a big lamdan. And he said to him, why don't you follow the footsteps of your great-grandfather, your ancestor Yaakov Avinu? He bowed down to Esau. The answer is that Mordechai says, I'm an Ish Yamini. And my forefather, namely Yosef, was not around, was not around at the time that Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esau. What's it all about? And the answer is that there's a koch in Shevet Binyamin that completely avoids or sideswipes what we call Chanifa, what we call Schok Shel Chanifa. That Schok Shel Chanifa phenomenon doesn't exist for Shevet Binyamin. And therefore Mordechai says, maybe everyone else is going to bow down to you as Chanifa. I'm not going to do that because I come from Shevet Binyamin and I'm going to provoke you with a Girui, because in this case I have the same status as a Tzadik Gomor who even B'Shoshem HaSachekeslo is going to be Megara, he's going to provoke a Rasha. But if the Pachad Yitzchak would have stopped here, I would have given a very high grade, but I don't know if I'd give him an A++. But here comes the punchline. He says, on Yom Purim, we are all called Al Shem Mordechai. Every Jew on Purim is called an Ish Yamini. And we all gain in this, just one day out of the year, in this, genetic code of Shevet Binyamin. We all are tofel to Mordechai. The whole essence of Purim is to accept upon ourselves Mordechai, as opposed to some Jews who are opposed to Mordechai, because why did he antagonize Haman? Today we all accept upon ourselves the concept of antagonizing a Rasha. And therefore, on Purim, the entire Knesset Yisrael gets that clarity of vision that normally is only exclusive to either a Tzadik Gomor or an Ish Yamini. The clarity of vision that is able to see below the surface and understand that if it's a Shash HaMasacheslo, ultimately what God is doing is he's involved in bestowing upon a Rasha a Schok Shalag. And that's a powerful Schok of Lag. And therefore, what we call Giri Birshayim, which for us is absolutely forbidden because it's always a Rosh Hashanah Masacheslo, the exception to that rule is Yom HaKippurim. The Tzumo Shal Yom HaKippurim, the very Matbea, and the very essence of Yom HaKippurim is Girui Birshayim, is we are all Mordechais on this day, and we all are going to refuse to bow down to Haman. That's the essence of the day of Purim. And if that be the case, then when the Chachamim say Osel is Garis Barosha Ba'olam Hazeh, that Olam Hazeh is referring to 364 days out of the year, but there's one day of the year that's not Olam Hazeh at all. And it has the status of Olam Haba, it has the status of the experience and the perception of a Tzadik Gomor. Matzavenu B'Yom HaPurim, Bo anachnu omdim besod Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachve, is ein lucha giri b'shoim gadol mizeh. Because on Yom Purim, we're not in the gather of Olam Hazeh as far as Giri Birishavim is concerned. And that be the case, let's go back to our original question, swing back to our confusion about the Elio Rabba. The Elio Rabba says that even though the Gemara establishes Ozi Malei Schok Pi Ma'asa Liyadim L'malos as Piv B'Schok B'Olam Hazeh, how then can the Elio Rabba allow Schok? If it's Schok Shel Mitzvah, he says that's Simcha of Olam Abba, but what about the Schok of Purim? He doesn't justify that. How is it Mutter? And the answer is because Asa L'Malei Adam Piv B'Schok B'Olam Hazeh. That doesn't apply to Purim at all. Because on Klal Yisrael, on Purim, as a universal nation, as a total nation, the essence of Purim is the schok of lag, the perception of Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh, not the perception of Chanifa, not the perception of I don't want to use that word because it's not a clean word, but we'd have to something up to a Russia, right? You know what I mean? And the reason for that is because on this day, we are the Bechina of Ish Yemini. And therefore, we can open our mouths with absolute schok, because that schok is really the baskol. It's really the impact of the ultimate baskol of Ozi Mole Schok Pinu. That in the future, we will have a total schok, and we'll appreciate that any Shosha Mesachek Eslo is really in truth, in previous, a schok of lag. On Purim, we can get a taste, an experience of that schok shel lag of Ozi Mole Schok Pinu, and therefore the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to get involved in all sorts of schok on Purim, and it could be the schok of the children, but it could even be the schok of the adults on Purim, because we perceive on this day the schok of lag. We are all bebchinas besod Mardechai of Olam Shekulo Ozi Mole Schok Pinu.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.